Are you a passionate business owner or entrepreneur ready to take your message to the world? Do you dream of launching your own podcast but don't know where to start? Introducing my 8-week Start Your Podcast program designed to guide you every step of the way in creating and launching your podcast. In this program, you'll learn the essential skills needed to craft engaging content, record high quality episodes, and market your podcast effectively to reach your target audience. I will work closely with you, providing personalized guidance and feedback to ensure your podcast stands out in a crowded digital space. But hurry, spots are limited and applications for our upcoming cohorts are closing soon. Don't miss this opportunity to turn your podcast dreams into a reality and launch your podcast this summer. Visit our website donnaead.com/apply and apply now to secure your spot in our next cohort. Together, let's make your podcasting vision a success. You're listening to the Wedding Procast UK, the place to be if you are a UK wedding professional looking to grow and streamline your business. I'm your host, Donna Ead, 10-year wedding photography veteran and CEO at the Society of Professional Wedding Vendors. If you want to grow and streamline your business, this is the podcast for you. Make sure you hit subscribe where you listen or join our email list at www.spwv.co.uk. You'll find the sign up form at the bottom of every episode, and by doing so, you won't miss a thing. So let's jump into today's show. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I am just buzzing with excitement about today's episode. In episode 46, I talked about your five people, and those five people being your mentors, people that you surround yourself with that make you feel good, make you want to do better, encourage you and lift you up. One of my people, one of my five, was Stu McLaren. So I'll link that episode in the show notes if you missed it, and you can go back and listen to it. But I'm so super excited today to be inviting his wife, Amy McLaren, on the show. She has a book that has just released on Tuesday, so it is available. Go grab it now off of Amazon, called Passion to Purpose. And I thought that just sat with our industry so well, because we are all so passionate about what we do and have such purpose behind what we do. So listening to today's show, I hope you love it, and I have a book to give away. So listen right to the end so that you know how to enter today's competition. Welcome to the podcast, Amy McLaren. I can't even believe I'm actually saying that. You know, I am such a huge fan. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for those that don't know, Amy is actually in Canada, but I am welcoming you virtually back to the UK and back home, because you were born in the UK.
Yeah, I was. And you know what? It was funny, I was just mentioning this on another podcast the other day, where UK is my home. Like, I was born in Oxford, England. I know I don't sound like it, and now I wish I did, but I actually did live in a small village called Tackley, near like Kidlington, Banbury area. And yeah, I was born in the John Ratcliffe in Oxford, and my family moved. I was 10, my brother was 7. We jumped over to Canada, and we are still the only people in our family that live in Canada. So I do consider UK still a big part of me, and I'm there quite often visiting family and friends, and I miss the penguins, I miss the galaxy chocolate, I miss the Jaffa cakes. So I miss all those kind of things.
You're talking my language with the galaxy. That's my favorite chocolate.
Yeah.
My dad actually used to deliver Mars chocolate, so I used to get bags of the stuff when I was a kid. So yeah, I'm with you there. So what I would like to do first is do a little bit of an introduction. So for my listeners, they are wedding professionals in the UK wedding industry, so they are not so based online. Now, I've been following Amy and her husband Stu for years. I'm not a stalker, honestly, but they are very, very big in the online world. And if you are an online business person, you are sure to come across them at some point if you haven't already. But for my listeners, they probably haven't heard about you and Stu. So why don't you just give us a little bit of an introduction to who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah. So my name is Amy McLaren. My husband is Stu McLaren. And like you said, a lot of people know my husband more than myself. So my husband does has a lot to do with memberships and creating reoccurring income. And for myself, I am an entrepreneur as well. I have my own business that is called Lady Strength. So I run adventure trips for women to help get them out of their comfort zone. And then I also run our charity that my husband and I founded called Village Impact, where we build schools in community. It's a community-led organization. So we work with communities in Kenya to build schools in small rural communities. And then I also run another passion-led business of mine is running an Airbnb business. So I have a luxury Airbnb I run as well. So on top of those businesses, I also am a mom. I have a 10-year-old that I swear is going to be, she feels like she's 16. I don't know. But she is our first generation Canadian because like you said, we are UK, from the UK. And then I also have a little guy I adopted from South Africa and he is 7 and we adopted him when he's 1. So that's kind of a little intro.
And not forgetting Callie.
Oh, yes, our dog.
Can't forget Callie.
I know my kids would be all over me for that. Yes, we are also, I guess, a fur baby.
Fur baby.
We have an Australian Labradoodle we've had for 2 years that cuddles with us all the time and is a huge part of our family as well.
She makes some appearances in some of Stu's videos when she gets a bit excited. So we're all very well versed in Callie the tribe communities. But we are not here today to talk about Stu or tribe. We are here to talk about you and your book, A Passion to Purpose. I'm really excited to dive into the book. And we will get to that in a little bit. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about passion, because I feel that in my industry, in the wedding industry, people feel like they are working in their passion. It's a high percentage of people that work in the wedding industry do it because they're passionate about it. But how do you define passion?
Yeah. So passion for myself and I think some other people is where like you're doing something that is so exciting that everything else like seems to fade away. Like it's an engagement with what you love and truly love to do. So it makes me think of, you know, my daughter and her reading. You've probably seen in some of Stu's videos where, you know, my daughter is an avid reader. She has been a reader since she's 3. Like she polishes off, I hate to say this, probably more books than I did at one point, the way she reads. But she gets into her books and she's so caught up in them and she's so in the story that you could be doing anything around her and she is just into the story and she cares for her books and she carries them around with her and she's passionate about the stories. And I think when you're engaged to something of that level, it's something you're truly passionate about. I mean, it's like me with traveling. Like I'm a bit of a gypsy. I'm an obsessed person that likes to travel like all the time. And it works well with my husband and I being entrepreneurs because we have the flexibility to do that. But I'm like, I could get off a plane in a completely different country with a completely different language and be on cloud 9. Like that is exciting for me. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. Like everything could be falling apart, but I would be so excited to be there and be in the moment that way. So it's definitely something that you're excited to do every morning when you get up. It's something that that brings you alive. And I really truly believe when we're truly passionate about something, it brings out the best version of us. We become this like best version of ourselves, which then turns into like the best wedding planner or the best mom or the best friend, because we're really truly living and coming through a place of passion.
I love that. And I actually wrote down a quote from, I haven't read the whole book, like I said earlier, but what I did read, I absolutely loved, and I can't wait to get hold of my proper copy in physical. But the quote was, "In many ways, when we are connected to our passion, we don't think about what we can't do because we are so excited about the possibility of what we can do." And I was just like, oh, yes.
Good, right? Because when you're thinking, it's like when you start a new business or maybe for your audience and you're planning somebody's wedding and you're thinking about all these possibilities. And because you're passionate about it, it's like the sky's the limit. And you think of like all these other creative things that, you know, you could do and the different ideas and the different little touches that would make the bride happy and the family happy and make the memorable event that everyone talks about for so many years. Right. And yeah, it's possibility. It's like your mind goes to so many places. What could happen?
It's so good. It's so good. I loved that. So I think that a lot of people, like I say, in our industry are doing it because they're passionate about it. But I also think that leading a passion-filled life isn't just about doing a job that you're passionate about. So can you talk a little bit around sort of some of the myths that people have of living that sort of passion-filled life?
Yeah, because I mean, a passion, you know, people can have multiple passions. Like I said, a passion for me is, you know, it's really giving back and that side, which is my charity, but then the travel and the experiences of the other side. So a lot of people have different passions, but I think sometimes some of the myths that holds people back is, you know, that it costs a lot of money. There's this kind of idea that, oh, like for traveling, travel, it's just too expensive, but you can travel on a shoestring budget. And you can travel, and there's ways to do it creatively where, you know, you don't have to stay at all luxury places. There are cheaper options to do it and other alternatives. So even when I think of, say, they liked bird watching or something. So you're doing wedding plan B, like bird watching it. You can just go and watch the birds. Like, you don't have to go on a big thing. There's just so many creative ways to do it that I think oftentimes that people think it costs a lot of money, when I encourage people to think the other way and say, you know, how can I do it differently? Or how can I plan on that budget? I mean, I traveled through cheap countries like in Southeast Asia and Europe on a shoestring budget. Yes, I didn't have kids and I wasn't married and I was by myself, but you can still do it in different ways.
Yeah.
And another thing I think that people have is, you know, that it's too time consuming, or maybe it's seen as like a nice to have, like it would be nice to do that. Mm. But my challenge to that is, like, we all want to live doing things that we enjoy. So why, it shouldn't be a nice to have. It should be a priority on your list to include it, whether, you know, that's 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a week, or even these little times that's, we're on this planet to enjoy ourselves and to live a passionate life. And doing something you're passionate about doesn't have to cost money, and it doesn't have to be all time consuming. Mm. Yeah. And then I think the last thing I would add to that is, maybe on another scale, is that people often think that, you know, these like, for example, if someone was making jewelry, they would be like, oh, well, that's something I do for my friends or for my family on the weekends, or it's like a hobby, or it's pushed to something that's on the side. But then I encourage people to look around a little more and research, because there's a lot of people, maybe like some of your wedding planners, that are living passionate lives using their passion as that has become a full-time thing. Like, I think of people in, like you mentioned, the Stu's tribe community. I mean, there's people in there that I think it was Tamara Bennett, like that he talks about, that makes the decorative door hangers. Like, there are so many different things, like, you know, and even in my mastermind, I have a lady that loves crafting, and she creates crafts and has a big membership. Mm-hmm. So there's all these opportunities that can be turned into, I think, a career or that direction. But then at the same token, it doesn't have to be. We could all have 3 or 4 passions, and we can all make 5 minutes or time of the day to fill that bucket or to fill that part that brings us joy. So I just don't think it should be ignored. It should be a priority.
I love that. And I love that idea of filling your buckets as well, because I think a lot of the time we just get so overwhelmed with the day to day. You know, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, I've got to drop the kids off, I've got to take them here, and I've got to do this, I've got to go to the shops, and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, the day's over and you're just like, oh yeah, I'll get to it tomorrow. But yeah, there's so much more for us. You know, our life is our life and we need to live it. And just making those 10 minutes, like I make it a priority to meditate for 10 minutes in the morning. It's part of my morning routine. I always do it. And if for any reason I don't do it, I make sure that I do it at the end of the day as well, before I go to bed, so that it is done, because it's just my moment, my time for me. And I think it's so important that we include those times in our day. And if you can do something that you're really passionate about with that time, mm-hmm, even better.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's important not only for ourselves, but if you have young ones at home and kids, and you're a mom, it's important for your kids to see that you're carving out that time and taking that time to do what you're passionate about and what you love, and for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I agree totally. So for those of us that are a little bit more on the reserved side with these things, I know there's people out there that kind of sit there and are just like, oh yeah, well, I do my job and I love my job and I love getting up every day and doing that, and that's fine. But I do believe, like, you are multi-passionate. I have multiple passions. How do people sort of get under the skin of themselves and find out what they are passionate about?
Yeah. So I think oftentimes, I mean, I know I've struggled with this, and a lot of other women and men too have, where, like you said, you get busy in life, right? And things happen. And like, all of a sudden it's 5 o'clock and it's like the day's done. And then all of a sudden, maybe 1 week's done, and then a month, and then like a year passes, and you're like, oh my goodness, what did I do for like the last like year? But I think it's important to take the time. And one way to kind of maybe unlock passions that are there, because I think everybody has passions, but sometimes they get kind of like piled on by other stuff. It's like an onion, right? And it's like you're taking off all these layers, and underneath there are still some things that are there, but they get pushed down or not seen as a priority. So what I've done before and encouraged people to do is kind of like make a passion timeline, and to just take 20 minutes, just like sit down by yourself. And it's so simple, but just draw like a simple straight line and do increments of like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 to however old you are, and take a minute and go back and revisit those things that you like to do when you were 10, when you were 20, mm-hmm. when you were 30. Because, you know, when I think of myself in my 20s, like, you know, I like to think that wasn't too long ago, but like, I'm 40 today. So that was crazy to think that that was half.
Me too.
Life,
me too.
Right? Yeah. Like, but I think about, you know, what was I doing when I was in my 20s? Like, what was I doing even as a kid? And it's funny, because when I do this for myself and I look back, I've always been organizing events, and it kind of leads into what I do today. But it's like, I remember doing summer camp when we first moved from England, when I was 10, I would babysit the kids on the street, and I created a summer camp experience. And then I asked my brother to videotape it, and then we upsold them on the video, or the families for the video. And it's funny, because when you look now in our online business, there's always these multiple revenues that you may have, right? So my brother would do the video. I would like sell spots to the camp. And then I had the whole street coming every day and made a little money that way. But again, it's like organizing and creating these experiences. It's what I've always loved to do. So I think sometimes there's common threads in there, but it takes time to go back and to revisit those things. And then I encourage, once mm-hmm. you've kind of gone through those time periods in your life, it's asking like family and friends what they see lights you up. Because I often think that we can feel when something lights us up, but when somebody else can like identify that and kind of reaffirm that it does, it kind of shows that you're on the right track. Like I think of when so I do these crazy adventure trips through Lady Strength, and I've rode a motorcycle across Morocco, a 50cc kids motorcycle, with nowhere to stay, and like had to find a stay every night. And then I also did this adventure through India where I rode a rickshaw. So I didn't like bike, but I like drove the rickshaw for 1200 kilometers down the India coast. And again, we had to get to a different hotel every night. It was kind of like this big adventure. But as I was doing that, I was posting about it and sharing stories. And one of Stu's friends messaged him and was like, I've never seen Amy come so alive. Like, I see it in her charity stuff, but I see her like driving this rickshaw through India. And some people would be like, what? Like, that is not my thing. But for me, it's what truly lights me up. It's the adventure. It's the excitement. And it just affirmed to me that like, other strangers that I, you know, I knew that person, but other people commented too. And for strangers and family to comment and see that in your face and see that in your eyes and see it come to life was really valuable for me. So I think it's definitely like finding, you know, the timeline and asking friends and family. But then the last two steps would be like selecting one or two of those things that you've identified. And then it's like, okay, I've selected them both. But now you have to commit to it. And I encourage you to like, just pick one thing, commit to it, and put, whether it's like we said, 5 minutes a week, like you're doing with your meditation, or 10 minutes a day, and do that. Because that's, like we said, we're here to live a passionate life and to enjoy life. And that's through our passion. And that leads to I strongly believe it leads to your purpose and where you're supposed to be in life. But you have to commit and take time to you know, identify those and then sprinkle them into your life some way that works.
Mm. I think that is so true. And I love the way you say that the passion leads to your purpose, because obviously that is the title of the book. So I was excited to get into that a little bit later. But I wanted to talk about Village Impact, because I am a huge, huge fan of what you guys are doing with Village Impact. I am an ABA-er and very, very happy to be and be contributing. And I love seeing what you guys are doing out there. So how did your passions, and I suppose it's kind of probably coming out, people will be able to sort of pick out this, but how did your passions lead to Village Impact, and how did Village Impact come about?
Yeah. So like, you know, as I've mentioned, I obviously have a huge thing for travel. And I think my journey has been influenced not only by travel, but the desire to help others. And it started for me like back in the UK. Like it was back when I was living in the UK, because my mom and my dad were really great at traveling as kids. I mean, I'm so jealous that you live in the UK, and I wish I was back there sometimes, because you have so many countries at your fingertips that you
on the doorstep
pop over to for like, you know, a weekend. And that just wouldn't happen being in Canada. But, you know, we grew up traveling and doing different things as a family. But something my parents were always really good at was, and what I benefited from, I believe, was always thinking about other people. I mean, I can count the times that my mom invited strangers over for a Christmas dinner or, you know, a gathering, because this person had nowhere to go or nowhere, no family at that time. So we were always welcoming people to our home. We were helping in soup kitchens, homeless shelters. Like we just did it as a family. And that kind of common thread of giving back continued, you know, when in my 20s, I kept returning to the UK, where I taught a lot of at English international language schools. So I taught English there for a while to all the like Italians, and people from different countries would come to the UK that you probably know to learn English, right, for summer breaks. And so I would teach there. And then at one point, this was crazy to me, at 20, I think I was 24, I was directing a whole school with like almost 1,000 kids and 24 staff, which was like crazy. But then it was those experiences of like learning from other cultures. And, you know, I moved to Thailand and I lived with a Thai family. And what really lit me up over all these times was just how much we can learn from other people and other cultures, and working together with these communities that I lived, like when I was at a refugee camp, it was the same thing. Like you learn so much from people when you are in that space. And so I continue to do that and lean into that and follow that passion for that. And it kind of came to, I guess, to a head or to like fruition when Stu and I were on the couch watching Oprah's Big Give one night. And for those of you, I don't know if you've ever heard of that show. Mostly everyone knows Oprah, but Oprah also did the show Oprah's Big Give, and she would basically transform, you know, a community, or by helping a family by going in and helping them. And Stu and I used to watch it, and we'd both be in tears. And you know, I said to Stu, and I'm like, I want to do this. And he's, and you know, cause who doesn't want to be like Oprah? But I was like, I want to do that, but I want to do it internationally, because I love learning from other people and working from different cultures. And so I'll never forget, it was like December, and I was teaching full time then, because before I entered the entrepreneurial space, I was a grade one teacher for about 10 years. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to do that. And he's like, but Amy, like, Chris, when do you want to go? And I'm like, Christmas, like Christmas is when we're going to go. And this was like two weeks to Christmas. And he's like, Amy, we can't do it. And I'm like, no. I'm like, as you said, like Stu, I'm like, he's always been business oriented. I'm like, you figure out how to raise this money. I'll do all the travel details and we'll do it. And he's like, no, it's like too soon. I'm like, no, let's try. And so we did. And we asked like six entrepreneurial friends in the space if they would share their predictions for that upcoming year. And then we charged people to be a part of the call. So it used to be called like a teleseminar, which is now a webinar. And yeah, and we raised like $14,000 in this 24-hour period. And I was like, this is amazing. So we took it down to El Salvador, not literally, but like added our debit cards and checks. And we lived with a family there, and I learned about their culture, and we stayed with a mom, and I just really enjoyed it. And we came back, and I think you know, that was the start for me for where Village Impact started. And, you know, now we're here today and, you know, it's 10 years later and we've built 14 schools in partnership with the government. And we're really big on that as an organization. And it comes from my experience through traveling is like, we're in this together and we're partnering together and we're learning from each other. And when we, you know, partner with other organizations and work together, we can create a massive change. And so, yeah, now we partner with organizations, we work together and we've got 14 schools now. And I think we're close to 5,000 kids in them that are all, again, sustained by the government in our partnerships that we have on the ground with them. But that was, in a sense, in a short kind of version of the story, how Village Impact started. But it was, again, it was myself just following that desire for something that I was truly passionate about that has led to an organization that's become much bigger than, you know, than I ever thought, it was no big plan. Like I didn't have a master plan at all. But it's just, it's grown over time. And I'm so grateful for people like yourself that support it and continue to support our vision and dream of growing it.
I just think it's so good. And what you just said there was actually a perfect example of the quote that I said at the beginning is that you were really passionate about it. You weren't looking at the problems, you were looking at the how-to. And Stu wasn't quite there with you yet. And he's like, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. And you're like, no, we can.
That's right. We'll figure it out, right? Like I had no idea how to start a charity. Like we were trying to figure out the business because we were building another business at that time. But we both always had this heart of just being with people and learning from other people and building things as a team and together, because I really do think, and I know Stu says this, where, you know, we're better together. And I really think we are in this whole world. We're better when we work together and we learn from each other. We can do extraordinary things.
Yeah. And what I love about Village Impact as well is the fact that you guys aren't going in there with a team and building these schools and then leaving them. It's them there on the ground. They're building the schools, you're providing the money, and then you're helping to maintain the schools as well. So you're not just getting these schools built and then leaving them to it. And you've been doing some fantastic things over the last 14 months with COVID as well. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys have been doing with that?
So we, like you said, we come in, we partner with the government, so, and the government supplies all the teachers and runs them. And then just to add on to that, like we do supplement different things, but we do, again, have this long-term sustainability plan where, you know, 80% of it they do by themselves, but we do things like extra things, like you're saying with the COVID packs where we have come in, COVID hit everybody. I mean, it hit the whole world so hard. And a lot of our communities, they just don't have the doctor's offices that we do. They don't even have access to a lot of the vaccines. So we partnered again with a local community that was making soap, and we did a soap distribution to, you know, all of our schools and all of the families, and then a mask distribution. So again, partnering with our communities, we found a local organization that made masks, and we supported them to get some more masks out to the communities. And yeah, it's getting better, but it's, you know, what people don't see too is like, they're so behind us in terms of things coming out. Like here in the UK and North America, we're so lucky to be able to, you know, I just had my second shot the other day, and, you know, whereas they're still far behind in getting and being able to access things like that. So we just, we dove into the community and saw where we could help, but again, partnering with people that are already doing those things and then enabling them to get them out to more people in the community.
It's so good what you guys are doing. It's amazing, and it's just come from this passion. It's like, it's not an organization that's been set up, it's not that you know, the need has always been there in Kenya, obviously, but you're not living there, so it's not like when sort of charities come up from the fact that it's in somebody's face, or you know, somebody starts a cancer charity because they have cancer, or somebody in their family has cancer, and they start this sort of ball rolling. You went out there and looked for somebody to help and have created this amazing charity.
It's our community. It's our, you know, our Kenyan staff on the ground. It's the Kenyan NGOs that I work with that like we really are community led, and I'm a face to, like, you know, along with our team to help spread the word and see what we can do. But, you know, it's a community, it's a team effort. Yeah. And it is definitely, we've had an impact, but it's been a community impact of what we've been able to do.
Yeah. And that's what I love. I love it. It's that you let them guide you as to what they need. And that's just so much nicer than kind of some charities that I've seen that kind of go in with this sort of hero, let's save the day. And then they save the day and they walk away and who knows what happens afterwards. I just love that community that you have built there, and that you've got staff in Canada. You know, I've been I've spoken to a couple of the ladies on your team over the last few months and things, and then you've got the staff there and you all work together to make it work and to keep it going, which is fantastic.
Thank you.
So you've written this book, Passion to Purpose. Where did that come from? Where did the idea come from? What prompted you to start writing a book?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I never really thought I would write a book. I got to be honest, I haven't been like one of those people that, you know, or a person that's just like, I'm going to write a book one day. Like it definitely wasn't on my radar 5 years ago. But I remember the CEO of Hay House, Reed, he's a great friend. And he was always like, you should write a book and share. And I'm like, no, not yet. And then I think I got to a point, and that I think the thing that was it for me is I had so many people, you know, after Stu and I would speak, or we'd share about business, charity, life, kind of like really everything and how we run out. People were always asking a lot of questions, and I would have some people say to me, you know, I don't have the funds to be able to donate or to start a charity. And I don't believe you don't need to. Like I did go that route and I'm grateful. I love it, but you don't need to, you know, start your own business. You don't need to start a charity. Like you can have an impact with the tiniest things, like the littlest things that you do every day, add up. They add up to the impact that you make. And in the book, I mention a lot about legacy towards the end. And I truly believe that legacy isn't created in a day. Like it's created over the little things we do every day that leaves our legacy. It's kind of like, you know, friendship. It's like you have a friend. Would you want a friend that just shows up and says hi and then leaves? Or do you want a friend that is there through the hard times and the good times and is there consistently? And it's the same with building an impact or having a legacy. It's showing up in the little ways. And people would often say, like, I just can't start a charity, but I want to encourage people. And that's what this book is about, where it's like, it's like using our passions and what we love to do and how we can do more good with those. So for your wedding planners and all the contacts that they have and people that are listening, it's like, what can I do today? Because there is something we can do today that can make a difference in someone else's life and someone in their family's life and their community's life, and just encourage people to do more good. And it can be so simple. You don't have to, you know, start three companies and a charity. Like that's our direction and how it ended up. And some days I'm like, wow, we're crazy, but I truly do love it. But you know, it's all about please and thank you. It's all about, you know, honor, you know, giving away a free lesson to somebody that needs it. Or it's using what you're passionate about and then seeing how you can make someone smile, how you can make your life better, how you can partner with someone and make a difference with what you're passionate about. So that's why I wrote it.
No. I love that. And I think that when it comes to passions, like you say, a lot of people think that if they want to make a difference in the world, they've got to do some grand thing. And it doesn't have to be that way. Wow. I mean, as most of my listeners will know, I cut my hair off in April.
I saw that when I was flicking through your Instagram.
And, you know, together, my community raised £1,400 for cancer charities. Yeah. So, you know, that was something that was within my power. You know, I haven't got the ability to start. I mean, maybe I could if I was passionate about it, start my own charity. But I I like to support charities that are already there. Yeah. I don't want to sort of conflict with something that's already there. So if I was to start one, I'd want to be something that's untouched. Yeah. So I like to support things that are already going and sort of help in those areas. So supporting that was really good. And then Facebook do the thing where when it's your birthday, you can raise money for charity through Facebook. And I did the same thing. It's my 40th birthday at the end of June. And I said, you know, if you want to sort of celebrate my 40th with me, contribute to Stand Up for Cancer and Stand Up to Cancer. And I did that and raised another £75. Wow. And, you know, it's not a huge amount.
No, but
it's a little amount that makes a difference. It all makes a difference.
Totally. It totally makes a difference. And the biggest thing for me is like, you know, people are watching you do that and it helps spread the good vibes and like the good, you know, it's good. It's like, I look at, you know, my daughter's 10 and she's watching everything that we do. And as a parent, I'm like, you know, sometimes it's like, I think she's not listening. And then she comments about something and I'm like, oh, you listen to that. But it's all about, you know, it's about living our, like, as a parent where, you know, I want her to see what's possible in life by what she's watching me live mine. And we talk about, you know, being kind and spreading goodness. Like, we have to stand up and show that example ourselves of the good that we can do. And you don't have to donate $100,000. You can do good things with your passion without it costing a penny. Like, there's, and the more, can you imagine the world if like everyone just did more good with their passions and the impact in the world and how amazing the world be? And it is an amazing place, but like to make it a little
even better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So you've written the book, but what is even better is what you are doing with this book. So how does this book feed into your passions, but also into Village Impact?
Yeah, so for sure. So the book Passion and Purpose, all the money raised from the book will be donated into Village Impact, and it'll go towards our first girls' school. Now, this was an idea that again came from our community in terms of what was needed in the community and what the next steps were. And they really felt strongly that, especially given COVID and what's happened in our communities, a lot of the girls are dropping out of school. They're having things with hygiene in their period, and they're just not coming to school. So they believe that if we were to have a girls' school, it would create more of a community for the girls and the bond, and we wouldn't have as many girls getting pregnant and all these kind of feminine female things that have come up in the last 2 years. And so we've done our research working with our team on the ground, and that is our next project. So we've kind of put all the funds that are coming from the book that will go towards building our first girls' school, which will be the 15th school that we have under Village Impact, but it will be an all girls' school. So yeah, anything from the charity or from the book will then go into the charity.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited for the girls. And you're actually planning on starting the building of this school very soon, aren't you?
Yeah. So it'll start. Yeah. So our plans are to start it in the next about 2 months, I think it is, or in the back 6 to 8 weeks. So it'll be exciting. So we'll be posting updates as, you know, as the book comes out and updates for that kind of things as well. Yeah.
Okay. So as we are recording this, the book isn't released, but when this goes out, the book should be available on Amazon to buy. So definitely go head to Amazon and buy the book and support Village Impact and this girls' school, because that would be amazing. Yeah, how long does it take for the school to be built? So once they've started, how long before the girls can actually get in there?
So we're looking at, usually it takes about 6 months. It just depends on like donations and influx. Like, they can build it pretty quickly. But there's also some logistics we're just working out with our like connection with the government and some things like that. But it should be ready to go in the new year. That's our plan, is to open it come January.
Oh, that would be awesome. Awesome. So Amy, where can people find out more about you? I will definitely link for the book in the show notes. So do head to that. But obviously Amazon, Passion to Purpose, and it will come up. So do go and buy that. But where can they find out more about you?
Yeah. So if you go to amymclaren.com, it has kind of houses the Lady Strength stuff and myself. And then if you wanted to check out our luxury Airbnb, which is my third and latest passion activity, you can check us out on Instagram, and it's at Dover Lake House.
And that's beautiful.
That's my little project, that another passion project, I guess. So yeah, amymclaren.com, at Dover Lake House, if you're interested in seeing our Airbnb. And then yeah, Village Impact obviously is the charity that you can find out more.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Amy. I will make sure all of those links are in the show notes, guys. So head over to the website to find all the information and to connect with Amy. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We'll see you again soon. Bye for now. Okay, guys, that was it for today's episode. I hope you loved it as much as I did. As I said at the beginning, I promised you that there was a competition. You can win a copy of Amy's book. All you have to do is to screenshot where you're listening, screenshot on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, on the website, just screenshot that on your phone and share it to your Instagram stories and tag me, Donna SPWV, and give me one thing that you took away or one thing that was sparked by today's episode. Share it in your stories, tag me in it, and you will get your name entered to win Amy's book. And hope you enter, hope you win. Grab the book right now. If you win, you can gift it to a friend. Speak to you soon. Bye for now. Don't forget to hit those stars and leave a review of the podcast where you listen if you found value in what you heard today. It's a free way you can help the podcast reach more people just like you.